Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
My name is Christian. If you didn't catch that, I'm the Adults Ministry Pastor here at the Coeur d'Alene campus, and I'm just excited to get to share from God's Word today, and for all of us hearing all the things that are so praiseworthy as we're announcing, people being baptized, and the new building coming, and Wally and his just coming here. There's so many amazing things, and our God is just amazing. And for us, before we jump into today, I always love to share a verse, and sometimes we come in here and there are so many praiseworthy things. Amen. Sometimes in our lives, we come in here and there's hard things, right? There's challenging things. And in our prayers, as we come before God, we get to bring our praise and we get to bring some of our hardships. And all of us, as we come in here every week, might be in a different place. And so this verse I want to hit will actually tie in later, but it has to do with prayer as we're talking about prayer. Listen to this in Psalms 146, because sometimes there's ups and sometimes there's downs. It says this. Psalms 146 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous. Don't put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. My enemy has chased me. He has knocked me to the ground and forces me to live in darkness like those in the grave. I am losing all hope. I am paralyzed with fear. I remember the days of old. I ponder all of your great works, and I think about what you have done. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as a parched land thirsts for rain. Come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Don't turn away from me, for I will die. Let me hear from your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting in you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you." How many of you have ever been in a hard place before? Anybody? I want you to hear what he says here. He says, "God, you're so good. You have so many wonderful works. But in my struggle, God, that there are people who come against me. There are people who are chasing after me. There are times where I have fear, times where I have struggle and challenge, but God, I remember you." As we're talking about prayer in this series, there are times where we come before God and just utter praise because of his faithfulness and because of who he is and because of what he's done for us and because of the cross and because of his mercy. And then there are times where we come in here and it's hard to just come in here. And we get to come with all of those pieces before our God. And as today we're going to talk about prayer and we're going to talk about forgiveness, both God's forgiveness of us, as well as extending that forgiveness to others, which is hard sometimes. In all of those things, we can come before our God. Amen. And we're going to talk about that today. Before we get too much of where we're going, let's talk a little bit about where we've been. This series is called Pray Like Jesus. Everyone say, "Pray Like Jesus." Yes, pray like Jesus. And we have talked about how Jesus prayed in a lot of different ways, which we're going to mention a little bit today. But the disciples actually asked him how to pray. And it's built off of this series in Matthew. And he said things in the prayer. We talked about, "Holy is your name, O God." Who believes God is above all other gods, that he is in control? "Holy is your name, O God." We talked about how your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and how God, and we want his ways. If you've missed these, you can go back and watch them. And then Blake did an amazing job last week. He talked about, "Give us our day, our today, our daily bread." And today we get to talk about forgive us our debtors. For those of you who follow notes, the first section we're in is pray like Jesus. How did Jesus pray? Jesus prayed in lots of different ways. As you look through the Gospels, I'm very encouraged all the different things that it says about how Jesus prayed. In one instance, it says that Jesus often withdrew from the crowds to go and pray to the Father. That kind of puts me in a place where I'm like, that's perplexing a little bit. That would be like if I'm stepping up here today and was like, peace out. And then I went and I drew to my Father to pray. There are times where Jesus, who came to seek and to save, actually withdrew from the crowds, which was the purpose in him coming, to pursue time in prayer with his Father. What does that tell us about prayer? There were times in Mark, and you can look at the verses attached to these in your notes, but in Mark, it says that Jesus got up before daybreak to go and find a place to pray, that he would often go and seek time in the morning to pray. He talked about in fast forward towards the end of his life, Jesus in modeling prayer for us, he took some of his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was betrayed. And he said to his three disciples, sit here and pray. And he went away. And it says that he sweat blood and he came back and the disciples saw him modeling this for us. What does this mean about our prayers? It means in the good and in the bad. It means in the encouraged and in the discouraged times of our life that we can go to our Father. Then one of the most powerful prayers, in my opinion, in all of Scripture. Fast forward even a little further, when Jesus is on the cross and Jesus was being crucified and beaten and whipped and the crown of thorns on his head, he looks down at the people and he prays this prayer. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Whew. See, that prayer gives me goosebumps a little bit. You see, Jesus modeled prayer for us. And this series is based off of this passage, Matthew 6. It says this, after the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? He responds, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Which is what brings us to that next part of our notes. Forgive us our debts. See, there is some strong language in here when it comes to forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, O God. How many of you have been forgiven an incredible debt? All of us in Jesus. And in Jesus, we have this ability, and he says this in our prayers, to go, God, forgive me. And all through Scripture, it says things like, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, which is in 1 John. That when we go, God, I have this sin. Sin means missing the mark. God's perfect mark revealed in his word through the Ten Commandments are coming out of God's nature. And when we sin, it's choosing to go the opposite way. And there's this penalty of sin, it says in Scripture. It says that all of us have gone astray, that all of us have left the path, that we have all went our own way, that no one is righteous, not a single one. No one seeks God, as it says in Romans. And then it says that the penalty of sin is death, spiritual death. There's this picture of this Grand Canyon. I've used this before. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? I've not been, but it's huge. It's very big. I want you to picture you're on this furthest side on this cliff over here, And you're told you have to jump all the way. I told this picture doesn't even do it justice. All the way to the other side of this cliff that you can't even see in this picture. And you're told you have to go and you got to jump this canyon in order to go to heaven. How many of you would try? Some of you would. I would. You see, in scripture, and my dad, the senior pastor at Post Falls, mentioned another analogy week one of this gap, the stairs, right? For those of you who were here, that when sin happened, it created this gap between us and God, this massive gap and this chasm that our sins run so deep that there's this great separation that in ourselves and pride and anger and selfishness, that there's this such extreme of a debt that you can't even fully grasp. See, when we talk about, you know, they're a good person, Jesus makes it very clear there are no good people when it comes to the perfect righteousness of God. One of my favorite authors says, before you get people saved, you have to get them lost, because if they're not lost, they won't understand that they need to be saved. You see, it says, forgive us our debts, O God, which is what Jesus has done, amen. Jesus has come. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was beaten so we could be whole. Jesus was whipped so that we could be healed. Jesus was crucified. Jesus took our punishment for us. Listen to this in Romans 3. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his own blood. See, if you're in here today and you didn't know this, you have a debt that you cannot pay. And maybe your story, it doesn't matter. Your story does not matter on what degree of sin you have in your life. For me, as an ex-addict who is homeless, in and out of jail, pursued drugs and the pleasure of the world to the fullest extent, had many overdoses and near close calls, I understood when I came to the end of that rope that I had this debt. But the reality is no matter what your story is, your debt is that chasm that you cannot cross that only Jesus could forgive. And he says, if you would believe in me, if you would confess your sins to me, that in our prayers that we can go, God, forgive me. And then in Christ, we are forgiven. And here's what's amazing. He forgives our past, current, future sins, that our standing now changes before God, not because we become perfect in ourselves, but because we have the righteousness of Jesus for all of those who believe. Everyone say the great exchange. You see, the great exchange happens when we believe in Jesus, when we confess him as Lord, when we come to him and go, God, forgive my sins, and we declare him as Lord. This great exchange takes place, which is found in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we may become the righteousness of Christ. When we believe and we come to him in repentance, he takes our sin. And if you've been around here for a while, I hit this a lot. He took our sin and he clothed us in his righteousness. And now, because of Jesus, when he sees us as flawless. Do you believe that today? See, he has forgiven us. And when it comes to praying like Jesus, he says a part of our prayers is, oh God, you are holy, you are righteous, you are set apart. God, I'm gonna trust you every day because of what you've done for us. I'm gonna trust you with my needs. God, I'm gonna trust that your will is better than my own. For those of you who are in the own driver's seat of your life, how did that go? Not very good. it doesn't go good, that he's in control. God, please forgive me. And then in that, I don't have to go every day and confess every single sin, because that would be gruesome and endless. I sin when I know it, and I sin when I don't know it. And as the Holy Spirit who comes in us when we receive him as Lord and Savior, as he brings things to our heart, we go, God, forgive me. I don't want to do this anymore. And we are flawless in our standing with Christ for those who walk in repentance and believe. And you see, do you see in Jesus's interaction, I want to take a little bit of a sidestep for a second here. Jesus went to his Father before he was crucified. Jesus woke up in the morning early before daybreak to seek prayer with his Father. Jesus often withdrew from the crowds to go and be with his Father in prayer. As we're talking about praying like Jesus, what do you think Jesus' view was of his Father for him to want to pursue him that way in that kind of prayer all the time? Which leads me to another amazing point. Because of Christ, we get to go boldly before our Father in prayer. That we get to go straight into the throne room of God, that now because of Christ, there is no barrier. We get to go and have a relationship with the Father who sent his Son, with Jesus, who willingly gave up his life, left his position, didn't cling to his godhood, as it says, as something to cling to, but took a humble position as a slave to die a criminal's death on the cross. And now we get to go before him boldly. Hebrews 4, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. Don't miss this in verse 16. So, let us come boldly to the throne room of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I want to ask you today, what is your view of the Father right now? Not yesterday, not a year from now ago, right now. Do you go boldly before your gracious Father, who has made a way for you and his Son, because he loves you, says he knows the very hairs that are on your head, that he thinks about you more than there are grains of sand on planet Earth? Do you go boldly before him in your prayer, or are you afraid? In your heart, do you feel like you have to earn it to go before him? Are you trying to get your life together? Are you in doubt because you screwed up again? Did you know that your standing with God has nothing to do with your own righteousness and your own effort? That because of Jesus, and it had to be a free gift through Jesus, that your standing before him is your flawless. And as you sin and stumble, that God is working on your heart and changing you and working within you. And you, as you have a heart of repentance, when we choose to go, God, I'm going to have a heart of repentance, it's not a one and done thing that happened 10 years ago. It's a daily, God, forgive me. But God, thank you that you have. And in my faith, I trust that you have. Do you go boldly? And if not, what's keeping you from? I know how it is with me. The enemy's pretty good, isn't he? He's really good at condemning. He's really good at going, see, you stumbled again. See, why are you being someone who witnesses? You're so broken. All you do is fail. All you do is be irritable and frustrated, and you have all this brokenness. You can't go boldly before your Father's throne room. But brothers and sisters, the lie of the devil is that you got to fix stuff before you go into his throne room. But the reality is you go into your throne room because you're so broken that you need his grace. Amen. And it is there at the foot of the cross and at the grace and mercy given to you in Jesus that he changes your heart. He changes you from the inside out. I love this quote by A.W. Tozer. There's a picture, and I did not ever remember the second part of this quote. You might have heard it. It says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Listen to this part. Low views of God destroy the gospel for all who hold them." Do you know when we live like we have to have everything together before we go into the throne room of God, that view of God actually destroys the gospel? That's convicting for me because I know how broken I am. And I often have no problem sharing it. But we're not supposed to stay at our brokenness. God did not come to redeem and forgive for us to stay in our bondage. He came so that we could be set free. And it says, when you are free in Christ, you are free indeed. Amen. Do we view God in a situation right now, maybe because a family situation that's been hard? Maybe you have a loss that's taken place in your life recently. Maybe someone's sick. Maybe your job change happened and you don't know how you're gonna make it and you're like, God, where are you in a situation? You see, the devil loves to come in at those moments. But if you ever doubt God's goodness in a hard situation, just ask Jesus in the night that before he was betrayed what Jesus was thinking. You see, Jesus knew why he had come. He knew what was about to take place. He said, "Is there any other way?" But he said, if not, your will be done, Father. You see, in hard situations, our view of God can be put to the test. But it is in those situations when we decide to look through the lens of the cross to go, God, I trust you. God, I trust in what you've provided, which is forgiveness. God, in my prayers, I'm gonna come boldly before you. And just like the first verse that I mentioned, even when someone is hurting you, even when life is difficult, even when there's depression or anxiety, Jesus is bigger if you didn't know. And you can go before him boldly. As we go to the next part of our notes, which is labeled, if you're following us, forgive our debtors. Forgive the people who have hurt us. Who's been hurt by someone? Gosh, the rest of you are a liar. No, I'm just kidding. Forgive me. No. This next section is really hard, you guys. It's really hard. Because in this life, there are horrible, horrible things that happen. But as a part of our prayers, prayer is a powerful thing if you didn't know. And sometimes the devil gets me stuck on prayers. Sometimes, you know, I can journal and read and spend quiet time, but for whatever reason, the enemy can attack us when it comes to prayers. And here, if you didn't know this, guys, we always say, read your Bible, journal, spend time with the Lord and pray. Those things are all true, but there's often warfare around those things. Thoughts like, you don't get anything out of it. When you pray, God doesn't hear your prayers. Why is it quiet? Why isn't he answering you? These are all tactics of the devil to discourage you from doing it. But a part of this powerful prayer when Jesus was asked, how do we pray? Did you notice that there was a huge portion about this next part, forgiving others? For some of us, that might be hard because there was maybe abuse at one point. Maybe it was a really hard marriage. Maybe it was a coach that just belittled you, or if not a coach, someone in your life, a parent, someone who is supposed to play a heavy role of support in your life who belittled you and didn't show up and abandoned you and made promises that they couldn't keep. And you could go on and on and on and on. I could spend all day talking about the horrible things that happen in this life. But it starts first. You notice why he starts with, but remember you have been forgiven. Remember that debt that you could not possibly imagine or think about paying. You have been forgiven. I have redeemed every bit of it. There's not one ounce of it that I haven't taken care of. There's not one little bit of it that has not been erased. In the same way that you have been forgiven, to extend that forgiveness. And there are lots of nuances about this that we're going to talk about. But maybe it's really hard. The first three passages that I want to hit, Matthew 18, the Bible is filled with this topic. It says, Peter in Matthew 18 went to Jesus. It says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? He's thinking, that's a lot of times. No, seven times, not seven times, Jesus replied, but seven times 70. Seven times 70. I think he might have copied that from me. Basically, if you look into the context of the story, an infinite amount. You know what's amazing? Jesus does not tell Peter to not do something that he has not done for us. Amen. And in these areas that are so hard to forgive, there are people that hurt us. But the Bible says that we're to extend that forgiveness. Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Hebrews 12:15, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out, it says. Listen to this if you're missing this. Watch out so that no pious root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. I'm not gonna lie, there's so many times in my life that I've been hurt in some ways where I've been in that season where there was absolutely a bitter root. And what happens is you're trying to get people to drink the poison that you're drinking, hoping that it actually hurts them when it hurts you. And it keeps you in bondage. And here's absolutely what I want to say in this before we go into the nuances of this. Jesus, God, is a righteous God. Amen. He did not just dismiss sin. He didn't just go, you know, I'm just going to look the other way at our sin. No, he poured the full wrath, all of his power and the wrath of God poured out on his son. He dealt with our sin fully. But if we want to seek the full righteousness in a situation for ourselves, ask ourselves this question: do we want the full righteousness for ourselves? Do we want the full justice for ourselves? The answer is no. There were times when I was younger where I had some pretty rough things happened to me, which messed with a lot of the better half of my life at the beginning. And there were years and years and years of confusion and doubt with some of those things. I don't know what your example is for your life, but maybe there is a bitter root that has taken place. And Jesus wants you first to know the forgiveness that God has given you, but he also wants us to extend that forgiveness. In the study of this, I went back to Matthew 6, and I looked into the Greek for the words used when it says, forgive our debtors. And I wanted to know the exact word that was used there. And the word there is aphilemai. I don't know how to actually say that properly, so give me grace. But I'm pretty sure it's pronounced aphilemai. These are the five big definitions under aphilemai used when it says forgive our debtors in that verse. One is to send forth, yield up, or to expire. The second one is to let go, let alone, and let be. Three, to let go, give up a debt, forgive, or to remit. Four, to give up, to keep no longer. Listen to this in verse 5 if you've been checking out. To leave, go away from one in order to go to another place, to depart from someone. I want to talk about the nuance of this. What does forgiveness actually mean? That last definition was interesting to me because there is an area of forgiveness that actually does look like going over here and departing from. Did you know that there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation? You see, forgiveness in Christ that he has modeled for us is that forgiveness is freely given. But in order to access the ability to step into experiencing that amazing forgiveness that is free, you have to step into reconciliation. You see, there are people who are going to go to heaven and to hell. But did you know that because of what Jesus has done, no one has to? Jesus has made a way for everyone, and that forgiveness is a free gift, but not everyone will receive it, will they? Some choose against it. In order to step into that free gift of forgiveness, they have to go, I've been wrong. I actually admit that this sin is wrong. In order to get grace, you have to be able to admit that you need it. Otherwise, it's not grace. You see, in our forgiveness and in the hard situations that happen, God has said you are to release people from their debts, which not only releases them, but it sets you free as well. Because it comes in and it creates this bitterness. And we go, that was so wrong, and it took so much from me. Some of you have had such things happen that it took so much from you. And to forgive it, it is free to the person receiving the forgiveness. It is not free to the forgiver. You see, for us, Jesus' gift of forgiveness is free. But was it free for God? Cost Jesus everything. See, it was free for us, but it was paid with the sinless, spotless blood of Christ. You see, if we are to forgive people, it will cost us. But do we go, God, I want to forgive if, as we have been forgiven? But that does not mean that the relationship always looks the same. That does not mean that there are no boundaries. That does not mean that there are no limitations. That does not mean that trust is immediately just put in place, because someone who walks into reconciliation has a heart of repentance and goes, please forgive me. I'll show you. I'll prove it. I'll walk with you. That is different, isn't it? And the nuances of this is sometimes releasing people from their debts, which is free for them, but it costs us, creates freedom for them and us, but reconciliation sometimes looks different. I can forgive someone, but that doesn't mean I'm their best friend overnight, does it? In certain situations, I can forgive someone, but that doesn't mean that our relationship will ever look the same. And here's why we say this all the time. This is not a one and done conversation as we're getting ready to come closer to the end here. This is a very, there are whole books on this subject, isn't there? You need relationship. You need people in this process as God has forgiven us and knowing the truth and applying his word and having people remind us of the forgiveness in Christ. And then when we're extending it to the people that hurt us, we need people to help walk with us, to help us create healthy boundaries, to help us encourage us when we need to have things in relationships be limited in different ways, but also encouragement when it needs to be going into a situation that we don't want to because of what Christ has done for us. And we need each other, amen? And this is not a one and done conversation. In this process, as we get ready to close, we also are invited to lament. Everyone say lament. The first verse that we hit today was a lament verse, which is a pouring out to God our hurts, our struggles, our wounds, our questions, to the areas that we've been hurt, to go, God, I've been hurt. God, this has been challenging. God, I've been in brokenness. God, I'm angry at this person. And we bring that to God, and then we leave it at the foot of the cross. And God invites us to do so.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.